The finished basement and media room were packed full of people I barely recognized, and I couldn't find any of the guys in the kitchen or on the patio either. I spotted Alex chatting with a couple of guys by the pool, but I didn't have time to wonder how she'd gotten here so fast. Where the hell was Michael? The court. I charged for the other end of the house, already hearing the pounding of a basketball coming from Michael's huge indoor basketball court. Swinging open the large double doors, I heard the squeaks of tennis shoes running across the polished wooden court floor as the echo of a basketball drifted up to the rafters. Several guys raced on the court with their shirts off, and I recognized a few of them. They were seniors now at Thunder Bay Prep. Looking to my left, I spotted the carpeted hangout area, complete with couches and a refrigerator. Michael and Will sat on the large sofa, a sea of bottles and cups on the table before them, while Kai sat in a cushioned chair, looking anything but relaxed. His elbows rested on his knees, and he held the rim of a red cup between his fingers. Stalking over to them, I stared, disbelieving at the sight before me. A party? They were fucking drinking? This isn't seriously happening right now, is it? I snapped, stopping in front of the table and looking over at Michael. He raised his eyes but kept quiet. You kidnap my mother, I started. Burn down my house, steal my money, lure me here, and then attack me.
We're really sorry,
Will spoke up right away, sounding sincere. What? I opened my mouth to retort, but I was too stunned. I almost wanted to laugh. They were sorry? That was supposed to fix everything? Will leaned forward and poured some alcohol into a rocks glass and held it up to me.
Do you want ice in your tequila? He asked in a gentle voice.
But I darted forward, slapping the glass out of his grasp and sending it flying to the ground. The tequila splashed across the carpet, making a couple of the girls standing nearby scurry away. Breathing hard, I tipped my chin down and glared at Michael. Tomorrow, you're going to put me on the phone with my mother, I ordered. You're going to give me back every cent and schedule a contractor to start restoration on my house, which you will pay for. Do you understand?
We were going to anyway, he replied, and then looked at me curiously. But I'm curious. What happens if we don't?
I stood up straight, folding my arms over my chest and curling my lips. Did you ever find the phone? I asked. There are a lot more videos on there, huh? Michael's face slowly fell at my insinuation, and he sat up, resting his forearms on his knees.
You're lying.
I held up my hand, inspecting my nails. Maybe, I shrugged. Or maybe I know where Trevor hides everything important to him. And maybe I know what the combination is. And maybe I'm willing to bet that if he hasn't destroyed the phone, then it's in his special hiding place. I looked straight at him, unable to hide the amusement I felt. And maybe if I don't get what I want, I won't be nice and open up the safe for you. Anger crossed his face, and I could tell he was thrown for a loop. They'd assumed the phone was gone. They'd assumed they were safe. But from the look in his eyes, there was more on that phone that could hurt them. Kai and Will sat frozen, their ease now apparently sucked away.
You're threatening us?
Michael's menacing tone made my stomach flip. No, I answered. That's what you did to me. I'm simply playing your game. He inhaled a long breath and sat back.
Fine, he bit out. Mom, house, money. Easy enough.
Then he snapped his fingers to a group of girls to his left, calling one over. A blonde in a tight blue dress, falling just a few inches below her ass, sauntered over in bitter bottom lip, trying to hide a smile, as Michael pulled her into his lap. My heart sunk. His hand snaked around her waist and held her close to him, as he looked at me the same way he did growing up, as if I were in the way.
Now go to bed, he ordered. It's late.
I tensed, half expecting to hear Will laugh at the remark, but both he and Kai sat silently, looking at the floor. Refusing to let him see me falter, I raised my chin and turned, walking out of the court as the pain and anger dropped like an anchor into my stomach. It sat there like a brick, and the weight was too much. I couldn't feel anything anymore. Too much. I'd been terrorized tonight for no reason, and not only had he not apologized, he was doing everything he could to hurt me more. Did he feel anything? I passed partiers and crossed into the foyer, racing up the stairs and into the solitude of my bedroom. Keeping the lights off, I closed the door and locked it before walking over to my bed and sitting down. I dropped my head and closed my eyes. I wanted to leave. I didn't care about the money or the house. They should be coming to me, begging to make it right. A knock sounded on the door.
Rika.
I popped my head up, hearing Kai's voice and seeing a shadow in the light underneath the door.
Rika, he said, knocking again. Open up.
The pulse in my neck throbbed. I stood and walked over to the door, turning the handle to make sure it was locked. Stay away from me, Kai.
Rika, please, he begged. I'm not going to hurt you. I promise.
I shook my head. Not going to hurt me? You mean any more than you already have? Twisting the lock, I cracked open the door and saw Kai standing there, dark and tall, dressed in a pair of jeans and a gray t-shirt. His eyebrows were pinched together, and there was a sea of pain in his eyes.
Are you okay? He asked,
sounding timid. No.
I won't touch you, he promised. I wanted to hurt you because I thought you hurt me, and now I know that's not true.
So does that make everything all right? I glared at him, anger coursing through me. The stress and the fear you put on me?
No, he rushed out. I just...
He dropped his head, looking like he was struggling to find words. He looked weary.
I just don't even know who I am anymore, he nearly whispered.
I dropped my hand from the doorknob, surprised by what he'd said. It was the first real moment I'd had with any of them in years, and he wasn't playing with me. I turned and walked for the bed again, sitting down at the end. Kai stepped into my room, filling the doorframe and blocking out the light from the hall. That night, 3 years ago, I began, speaking softly. I felt so alive. I needed the chaos and the anger, and you guys seemed exactly the same. It was a really good feeling not to be alone anymore. My eyes watered, thinking back to how, even for a little while, I felt like I belonged somewhere.
I'm so sorry, Rika. We should have made Michael confront you all those years ago.
And then he exhaled a shaky breath and ran his hand through his hair.
Your house. Jesus Christ, he said,
as if just realizing the full measure of what they'd done. I clutched the blankets at my sides and stared at the carpet. Well, that was one apology at least. I shrugged, allowing him a little consolation. With you in jail and unable to confirm that it wasn't you in the mask instead of Trevor, we may never have realized what had actually happened anyway. I wasn't sure why I wanted him to feel better, but even if Michael had confronted me, it was my word against Damon's, and seeing as how I had the sweatshirt, it made sense that he would trust his friend. But he still should have confronted me. What were they hoping to gain with revenge, other than pleasure in someone else's torture? Would it accomplish anything? Take away what happened? Or move their lives forward? Had their worlds become so small in prison? Kai pulled out my desk chair and sunk into the seat, leaning his elbows on his knees.
I was angry with you, he told me. At first, I was so angry when I thought you'd outed us. But I wasn't vengeful. I was never going to do something like this.
He stopped and stared off, and for a moment, it was like he'd gone somewhere else.
Things changed, he said in a low, dark tone.
I narrowed my eyes, immediately drawn in by the faraway look in his eyes. What had changed while he was away?
I never knew people could be that ugly, he told me. I'll die before I ever go back there.
I sat frozen, wanting to ask him what he was talking about, but I knew I shouldn't care. He was referring to prison, I was sure, and I knew it must have been hard, hard enough to turn him from angry to vengeful. I looked over at his tired eyes, once bright with life, and I didn't want him to stop talking. Michael never told me anything, never opened up, and I was interested. Are you okay? I asked. But he didn't answer, and I saw him drift farther and farther away. Standing up, I walked over to him and knelt down in front of him. "Kai," I asked, trying to meet his eyes, "are you okay?" He blinked, and I hated how broken he looked.
"No,"
he whispered. I couldn't even get him to look at me. What the hell happened to him? He hesitated, as if thinking, and then continued.
"Damon lost what little heart he had," he explained. "People, problems, they barely scratch the surface with him anymore. He doesn't care about anything."
He ran a hand through his black hair, fisting it.
"Will finds ways to cope with alcohol and other things. And as for me, I don't want to be around anyone other than the guys. Not even my family. They won't understand."
"Understand what?" His chest shook with a bitter laugh.
"I wish I knew, Rika. I just can't let anyone in. I haven't touched a woman in 3 years."
3 years? But he'd been out for months. No one in that entire time?
"Michael paid off guards to keep us safe, but he couldn't shield us from everything," Kai went on. "He watched as Will deteriorated, and I withdrew more and more. He was helpless to do anything, and he felt so guilty. Guilty because he thought he'd incited you. Guilty because he was free."
He took a deep breath and kept going.
"He came up with a plan. Something to keep us hot and angry. Something to keep us fighting. And before we knew it, it consumed our every waking moment in there."
And then he looked up, meeting my eyes.
"I'm so sorry."
I let out a slow breath, seeing it in his eyes. "I know." Reaching out, he grazed his fingers down the side of my face, pushing my hair out of the way.
"I haven't been able to talk to anyone," he admitted. "Why does it have to be the one person I hated only just this morning?"
I couldn't help it. I gave a small smile and caught his hand on my face in both of mine and held it. Kai used to be larger than life. Like Michael, only a straight arrow. Kai was the good one. But now there was darkness there, too. His fight with me may be over, but there was still something brewing inside. The light spilling across the floor from the hallway disappeared, and Kai and I turned our heads to see a figure in shadow filling the doorway.
"I told you to go to sleep."
"Michael." I dropped Kai's hands and stood, the corners of my lips turning up. "No. You told me to go to bed, and maybe I was just about to." I threw a pointed look, hoping he got my insinuation.
"Do you two ever stop?"
Kai chuckled, standing up. Michael remained silent as Kai gave me one last look before turning and walking for the door. He waited for his friend to move and then walked through, disappearing around the corner. Michael turned back to me, filling the doorway with darkness again, and my stomach flipped and then tightened. I hadn't realized it, but I'd been relaxed with Kai here. Now I wasn't again. Michael hadn't changed from before. He still wore jeans and no shirt, and I wondered where the girl was who had her hands all over him downstairs.
"Come here,"
he told me. And I did. I walked over, going to him just like he asked, and then I smirked as I grabbed the handle to the door and swung it closed. He shoved out his hand, stopping it, like I'd known he probably would.
"I wouldn't have let anything happen to you," he stated. "I knew it the second you walked through the door tonight. I swear."
"I don't care," I replied in a flat tone. "I don't want you in here." And then I tried to push the door closed, but he planted a hand on it, stopping me. Forcing it open, he walked through and slammed it shut behind him before pulling me in and swinging us around, so my back was against the door.
"I stopped them."
His breath fell over my face.
"I chose you over my friends."
"Yeah, it looked like it downstairs," I said sarcastically, referring to the girl in his lap earlier. "I'm tired of your games, Michael, and I'm tired of you. Get out."
"What did he say to you?"
he demanded, ignoring my order. "Kai? Was he bent out of shape because Kai had sought me out?" "More than he probably says to you," I answered. He breathed out a bitter laugh, and for the first time it looked like he was at a loss for words.
Sick of my games, huh? You've learned to play them pretty well.
I'm not playing your games. You were wrong. I crossed my arms over my chest. You want to know what I've learned? I don't win by playing your games. I win by making you play mine. His eyes pierced me, darkening as his breathing grew shallow. He was pissed. I laughed, suddenly feeling 10 feet high. Look at yourself, I joked, elation filling my veins. You're actually breaking a sweat trying to keep up with me, aren't you? He bared his teeth and grabbed the backs of my thigh, hauling me up and slamming me against the door again. My heart jumped in my chest, the rush of fear filling my body as the wind was knocked out of me. And I couldn't help it. I locked my ankles behind his back, holding him between my thighs.
God damn, he whispered against my lips. I want you.
You're not the only one.
Kai, he gauged. Don't look to him, Rika.
Why not? He darted out, catching my bottom lip between his teeth, the heat of his mouth sending shivers down my spine.
Because you get everything you need from me,
he argued, his hot tongue flicking my upper lip.
And you'd only be doing it to fade me out anyway, and that will never happen.
He dived in, taking my mouth, and I groaned, my head feeling dizzy. I met his powerful lips as I tilted my head to the right to deepen the kiss. His tongue brushed mine, and I could feel a fire building low in my belly. I broke the kiss and tilted my head back so he could trail kisses down my neck. That sounds really good, actually, I said, groaning at the feel of his lips over my scar. A new man? A new mouth? His fist tightened in my hair, and his teeth brushed over my skin, warning me.
If you ever let that happen, I will make you sorry.
And then he came in again, sucking and nibbling my skin as I gasped and dug my nails into his shoulders. Oh, God, I moaned, grinding on him. Oh, Kai, yes. I felt his angry breath exhale across my skin, and his hand squeezed my ass painfully through my thin pajama shorts. His nibbling turned to biting, and his kisses became so hard they stung. I pulled his hair, forcing his head back as I grazed my tongue along his bottom lip. Trevor, I whispered. Touch me, Trevor. He growled and shoved away from me, backing up. I dropped to my feet and breathed hard, holding his glare.
Fuck this,
he barked, and then he reached out and yanked me away from the door, pulling it open. I watched as he charged out of the room, and I couldn't help but smile as he ran away. I immediately followed. Does this mean you're tapping out? I inquired with fake concern.
No,
he bit out, storming down the hallway, the muscles in his back flexing.
Game change. New players. There are plenty of other girls here, Rika.
And there are lots of guys here, too, I threw back, following him down the stairs. He stopped in the foyer and turned around to look at me, a dare in his eyes.
Is that so?
And then he smiled and twisted his head around, speaking to the crowd.
Listen up, he shouted to all the guests hanging out. Rika Fane is horseman property. Any guy lays a hand on her has to deal with us.
And then he turned back to me, lowering his voice with a smirk.
Good luck.
I clenched my teeth together. Damn it. Play his game. Play my game. It ultimately didn't matter when he had more people on his team. Fuck. He turned around, knowing he'd won, and walked toward the kitchen, leaving me standing in the middle of the foyer, surrounded by people eyeing me and thinking God knows what. Horseman property? Christ. But then his words came back to me, and I paused. Any guy lays a hand on her? I fought to hold back my grin. Walking into the sitting room, I scanned the area and then moved into the kitchen, finally spotting Alex at the island fixing herself a drink. She wore a tight black dress held up by a strap on one shoulder, bare on the other. I approached her, and she immediately looked up. Hey, can you believe Will flew me here in his dad's helicopter for this? She said, setting down one bottle and picking up another. Like I'm going to find a lot of business with the high school set. I mean, I'm controversial, but not a pedophile. I snorted. Not everyone here was in high school, and Alex certainly wasn't much older than them. But yes, I could guess she was used to more sophisticated men. I took a deep breath before I lost my nerve. "How much do you charge?" I asked. She set down the vodka and pinched her eyebrows together. "For what, exactly?" "For women."
Chapter 24. Michael. Present. Plenty of other women here. Yeah, that was a fucking bluff if I'd ever heard one. I couldn't keep my eyes off her, and I'd either have to swallow my pride and actually be nice to get her into bed tonight, or I'd have to pick another fight. Either way, she'd have my number. She'd know I couldn't stay away and that she was the only girl I wanted. How the fuck had that happened? I stood outside on the patio with a few old friends, some locals who worked in town, and some high school friends who never made it out of Thunder Bay, but I wasn't listening to anything they were saying. I stayed rooted, my arms crossed over my chest, as I watched her through the windows talking to Alex at the kitchen island. I couldn't believe she'd called me Kai. And then fucking Trevor? She was doing it on purpose. But why would she challenge me? She wanted me. Why not just give in? But no. The more I tried to get her to melt for me and forget all the bullshit we'd gone through tonight, the more she opened her smart-ass mouth to feed me her disdain. I couldn't bend her anymore. She was laughing at me. What if I'd completely corrupted her? What if she'd begun to like playing games too much, and the lust to play and to win overpowered her need for me? What if her heart had hardened so much that she closed herself off in order to survive? What if I was the one who had to bend? Unease weighed on my shoulders, and I let out a breath. I need her. I want her. At least tonight I was safe. I'd won this round. No guy was going to come near her, so she'd eventually just go to bed in defeat. She had no cards left to play. I watched as she and Alex walked around the island, goodbye agony playing through the house. But then Rika stopped, looked up, and met my eyes through the glass. Leaving Alex standing in the middle of the kitchen, Rika opened the door and walked up to me, leaning in. "You said no guys, right?" she asked, sounding mischievous. "Just making sure." One corner of her lips curled, and she turned, walking back inside. I watched as Alex shot me a smug, devious smile and took Rika's hand, leading her out of the kitchen. "What the?" I inched to the side, following them through the foyer with my eyes and seeing Rika cast one more glance behind her before they disappeared up the stairs. No guys. Meaning... Charging for the door, I swung it open and bolted through the kitchen. "Hey, where are you going?" Kai grabbed my arm, stopping me. "We've got to talk about Damon." "Tomorrow." I pulled away, dismissing him, and made my way through the foyer and up the stairs. I couldn't think about Damon right now. He was injured, and he wasn't doing anything tonight. Walking down the dimly lit hallway, I approached Rika's bedroom, noticing that the door was open. The entire upstairs was quiet, the echoes of the music downstairs like a faraway hum. But when I stepped into her doorway, I found the room empty. The lights were off, as they had been the last time I'd been up here, and her bed was still made. I looked back down the hallway, narrowing my eyes. Where the hell was she? Throwing open doors, I searched my parents' room, my brother's room, the guest bedrooms. But when I got to my room, I noticed a flicker of light coming from underneath the door. Reaching out a slow hand, I turned the knob and pushed it open. And my heart skipped a beat. "Shit," I barely whispered under my breath. Alex sat on the side edge of the bed, and Rika stood between her legs, both girls with their hands on each other. Alex held Rika's hips, staring up her and looking entirely too interested. And Rika. My fucking stomach was floating up into my throat, and I inched into the room, closing the door behind me. Rika put one knee on the bed at Alex's side, leaning her hips into Alex's chest and threading her fingers into her hair, caressing Alex's neck and shoulders. Alex inched up Rika's gray tank top, leaving kisses across her belly and darting out the tip of her tongue to taste Rika's skin. My cock rushed with blood and heat, swelling painfully. She was going to win this round. "What are you doing?" I was already sweating. "Jesus." Rika blinked her eyes up at me, gentle and calm.
"Game change. New players."
She repeated my words.
"You're not needed. Sorry."
And then she let out a moan, arching her body into Alex's mouth and letting her head fall back. I grunted, resisting the urge to adjust myself. God damn her. What the hell did she think she was doing? Was she really willing to go this far to challenge me? "You're in my bed," I pointed out, trying to look unaffected. Rika grinned down at Alex, who was still kissing her stomach, both of them practically ignoring me.
"Your bed is bigger," she answered. "You don't mind, do you?"
I steeled my jaw, seeing her hands trail down Alex's chest and grasp at her dress, pulling it up and off her body. But I barely noticed, because I couldn't take my eyes off Rika. She still wore her thin pink pajama shorts, looking so sexy and innocent with her glowing skin and hair. I swallowed the dryness in my throat, not sure if she was bluffing, trying to get me to react, or if she really did want this. Both possibilities, though, would have her coming out on top. She'd know she was smarter and stronger. Alex's hands ran up and down Rika's legs, and she started pulling down her shorts, nibbling the skin over Rika's hip bone.
"Ah,"
Rika groaned, her eyes closed.
"Michael."
I lost my breath, shaking my head and my heart in a thousand knots. She was winning. I was playing her game, and I was fucking losing. God, I wanted her so goddamn much. But this wasn't over. I circled the bed and grabbed Alex by the arm, yanking her up. "Leave," I ordered.
"What?"
she blurted out, her eyes desperate.
"Are you kidding me?"
I guessed she was getting turned on and probably hoped I'd let it continue and enjoy the show. But I shoved her away, not caring how disappointed she was. Will, Kai, and dozens of other guys and girls were out there. Let her take her pick. Alex snatched up her dress, huffing as she walked out and slamming the door behind her. When I turned back, Rika stood next to the bed, a slight smirk on her face.
"Your move."
I breathed out a laugh, towering over her as I hardened my tone. "Did you like that?" I asked. "How far were you willing to go with her?" She licked her lips.
"Maybe further," she admitted. "Or maybe I knew I wouldn't have to go far at all. Maybe I know you better than you think I do."
Reaching up, I trailed a finger across her jaw. "Do you?" She held my eyes, her chest rising and falling faster, and I could tell she wanted to lean into my hand. She wanted me to say sweet things and to give in to her, and she wanted my heart. That's why she was pushing me. But I wanted to play. "The thing is," I stated, narrowing my eyes on her, "we have a problem. You weren't invited into my bed, and you came in here without permission." Taking her hand, I pulled her across the room, feeling her stumble behind me as I forced her toward the door.
"Michael!" she cried out, seeing me open it. "What are you doing?"
I dragged her to the opposite side of the empty hallway, two doors down, and hauled her into a bedroom, throwing her forward and closing the door behind me. "Now that's a bed you're more familiar with." I gestured to my brother's bed. "Get in it." She faced me, fisting her hands at her sides and breathing hard, all composure lost. She shook her head, her eyes glistening with tears. Why was I doing this? I could have told her how much I wanted her, how much I needed her, and how, after nearly a week, I could still taste her. She could be underneath me in my bed right now, and I could be inside of her, listening to her pant and getting lost in the sheets and the feel of her the rest of the night.
"Michael," she begged, her voice brittle, "why are you doing this? After today and everything you put me through? Why are you trying to hurt me more?"
"Are you tapping out?" Her face cracked, and she dropped her head, her body shaking with sobs.
"You're sick, Michael. You're sick."
I ground my teeth together, approaching her. "When I found out last year that you were dating Trevor, I hated it. I hated you, but I hated that even more. I wanted to come in here and see you in his bed and how you would have looked."
"Why?"
she cut in. I stared into her eyes, knowing that I barely understood the answer to that question myself. Ever since I was little, I remember being angry. Angry that my father tried to mold me into someone I wasn't. Angry that he took her out of my arms. Angry that she and Trevor were always pushed together. Angry that I had to leave for college and leave her alone with my family. And then I was angry that she'd betrayed me. Or so I thought. But for some reason, the anger didn't break me. It made me my own person, someone who was defiant and knew their own mind. I stood up to my father. I made my own decisions, and I was invincible. And I became very good at finding my amusement in other ways. Growing up, every time she walked into a room and looked at me, wanting me to look back so badly, I felt powerful when I refused to indulge her. When I left the room, as if she hadn't been there at all. I loved that I dominated her pretty little head more than my brother ever could. And indulging in a little self-torture, like picturing her in here with him, kept me hot and on edge. I liked that because I liked who I was. It made me strong. Would giving in to her change me? "I like to hurt myself," I told her. "I need this. Now take off your clothes and get in his bed."
"Michael!"
she breathed out, trying to argue. But I just stood there like a wall, unbending. Her chest rose and fell hard, but she calmed her features and squared her shoulders, looking back up at me. Her mouth twisted in anger, but her eyes turned bold as she tore off her clothes and pulled down her panties, stepping out of them and walking to the bed. My heart started to beat faster, and I folded my arms over my chest, trying to stay hard. She pulled back the covers, her long blonde hair flowing down her back, and climbed in. She laid down, pulling the forest green sheet up to her waist and leaving her breasts uncovered. Resting a hand behind her head, she looked at me, her big eyes taunting me as her other hand rested on her bare stomach. She looked so fucking soft and warm and perfect. He'd seen her like this. He'd laid next to her like this, and regret racked through me, not because of the picture before me, but because it should never have been him. I could have had her, her first time, everything. And I let her go 3 years ago. If it weren't for me, she would never have turned to him. What the hell was the matter with me? Was all the power I felt pretending like she didn't exist greater than how fucking good she felt when I had her in my arms? No, not even close. She cocked her head, her eyes pooling with tears.
"I'm in his bed," she pointed out.
"You're not going to do anything about it this time? I can moan his name, or maybe tell you about the 4 times in our months together that I let him have me, and how I tried so hard not to picture it being you." The blue of her eyes glistened and shook as tears started to spill down her temples into her hair.
"Maybe you'd like more of a visual instead?" she asked.
She sat up, pulling the pillow down and swinging her leg over it, straddling it. Rolling her hips, she began to ride the pillow like it was Trevor underneath her, tilting her head back and moaning. Her beautiful round ass grinded into the fabric, her back arching as she picked up pace, while her hair swayed against her back. Pain shot through my chest, and my fists clenched. "Rika," I murmured, feeling like I'd lost her. But then she groaned and whispered,
"Michael."
And I narrowed my eyes, inching up the bed to see her face. Her eyes were closed, and she let out a hard breath, a small smile crossing her face as she rode the pillow.
"Michael."
She picked up the pace, grinding harder and faster, her tight stomach waving in and out, and her full breasts swaying with her movements. She grunted as her dry fucking grew more rigorous, and her face tightened in pain as she rode harder and harder.
"Oh, God! Oh, fuck!"
And Trevor was gone. He wasn't in the room anymore. She was mine. I unfastened my belt and dropped my jeans to the floor, kneeling behind her on the bed. I lost track of what the score was, whose move it was, or what game we were even playing anymore. "We want what we want." I wrapped a hand around the front of her neck and pulled her against me. Her head fell back on my shoulder, and my cock stood straight up, brushing against her ass. "What are you doing to me?" I asked, not really expecting an answer. She was tearing me up, and I wasn't sure I cared. I just wanted to burn. Dipping a hand down to her pussy, I slid 2 fingers inside her and pumped them in and out, bringing out her wetness and rubbing it over her clit. She moaned, turning her head toward me as she reached around with her hand and held the back of my neck.
"I'm not tough, Michael," she whispered. "Not really. I can play, and I can let you fuck me in your brother's bed or on your father's desk and use me as an object to get back at them. But in the end..."
She paused and then continued.
"In the end, I'm still here, Michael. I'm still here. It's still just you and me."
She breathed hard against my skin, and I dropped my head, caving. I wrapped both of my arms around her and held her warm body tight as I buried my face in her neck. I couldn't ever let her go.
"Just you and me," she repeated.
"Promise me," I demanded against the silky skin of her neck. But promise me what? What did I want from her? Promise you'll never leave me? Promise you belong to me? Promise you're mine? I raised my head, turning her lips toward me and kissing her deep and fast, her taste sending a rush of pleasure to my cock. I pulled away, breathing against her lips. Promise you'll never say no to me. Promise you'll never keep yourself from me. She grabbed my bottom lip between her teeth, sucking and kissing.
"I'll never say no," she answered, but then added with a smile in her voice, "as long as you keep me screaming yes."
I groaned, pushing her down on her hands and knees and grabbing her hips, yanking them back as her legs willingly spread for me. "Only as long as you need me then, huh?" I said playfully, taking my cock in my hand and gliding the tip up and down her warm pussy. "Only as long as you need this." Finding her wet heat, I pushed the head inside, forcing it into her tight body, and then pulled it back out, seeing her shake.
"Michael,"
she moaned, looking over her shoulder. And I slid the head back in, her pussy wrapping around me so hot that I just wanted to plunge inside of her. "You'll never say no to me. You know it." And then I pulled back out, hearing her whine in frustration.
"Michael!"
She slammed a fist into the comforter and then shot up, spinning around and pushing me back onto the bed. My spine hit the footboard, keeping me halfway upright, and my heart throbbed in my chest, seeing her crawl on top of me like a little animal, completely out of control. She straddled my waist, and I grabbed her hips, smiling and gloating as she dug her nails into my shoulder with one hand and positioned my cock underneath her with the other. She sunk her body down on me, and I slid inside of her, squeezing her ass in my hands as I pulled her forward to catch her nipple in my mouth. I darted out my tongue, flicking the pebbled flesh and wanting to take a bite out of her. She tasted so fucking good. She rolled her hips, clutching the footboard behind me in one hand and my shoulder in the other as she let her head fall back, moaning and grinding and fucking. "That's it." I gripped her ass, pulling her into me again and again. "That's it, baby. This is what you were built for. Me." I grunted, my cock so fucking hard for her. Taking one of her tits in my hand, I held it to my mouth, playing with her nipple again, licking and biting as she ground faster and faster, fucking me so good.
"Ah, ah,"
she cried out. And then she dived down, plastering her chest to my body and kissing me, the feel of her breath against my mouth covering my skin with heat. God, I was addicted. "Don't look to anyone else to give you this," I growled in a whisper, kissing her again.
"Michael," she panted softly, "I never wanted anyone else. Don't you see that?"
She pulled back, sitting upright, and I watched her close her eyes and her glowing skin move in front of me as her breasts bounced with her movements. Her hair fell over her shoulders and down her back, revealing her scar, and I reached up, running my thumb down its length. "So beautiful," I whispered. She gasped, moving faster and faster.
"Oh, God!"
she whimpered, and I felt my cock rush with heat, and I tensed up, squeezing my eyes shut.
"Christ,"
I groaned. "Baby, you better slow down or be ready to come."
I'm coming, she breathed out. I'm coming.
And then she pumped harder and faster, a light layer of sweat on her neck. And then she locked up, stilling as she dug her nails into my shoulders.
Oh, God!
She cried out, jerking into me again and again. And I grunted, pumping my hips up into her and spilling inside of her as my abs tightened and every muscle in my body strained and burned. She collapsed on top of me, burying her lips in my neck. And for several seconds, it was just us breathing, the rise and fall of my chest with hers. And I never wanted to move from this spot. Rika, little monster.
I don't forgive you for what you've done to me, she whispered, her voice still shaking from the orgasm. But you're right. I don't think I can say no to you.
I closed my eyes, threading a hand through her hair and holding her close. I don't think I can say no to you either. I rubbed my hands up and down my face, groaning with the weight on my eyes and the ache in my head. Shit, I grumble, turning my head slowly and seeing that I'm in the media room. Did we finish that whole bottle? I hear Kai ask. I tilt my head back, spotting him on the other couch with his face buried in his hands. I glance at the table in front of him, seeing an empty bottle of Johnny Walker. Peeling myself off the sofa, I sit up, my stomach rolling and a bitter taste in my mouth.
God damn, he says, pulling out his phone. She must be pretty damn sweet to get you to drink like that.
Fuck you, I growl under my breath. I hear him give a weak laugh as I try to steady myself. The room is spinning, and I blow out a breath, feeling bile rise in my throat as last night comes flooding back. The warehouse. Rika. I had her in my arms. Finally. Why did I fuck it up? But then I hear Kai's ragged breath, and I look up to see him staring wide-eyed at his phone. Michael, he says, looking scared. Get your fucking phone out, man. I reach over to my hoodie that I tore off last night and dig into the pocket, pulling out my cell. Swiping the screen, I see a list of notifications, messages, and tweets a mile long. What the hell? My heart starts pounding, and I start clicking, catching words like cop, statutory rape, and horseman. What? My mouth goes dry as I see images of Kai, Will, and Damon, and I don't know what the fuck is happening. Why are these pictures online?
The phone, Kai breathes out, looking up at me like the wind had been knocked out of him.
I click on the videos, my stomach dropping when I see Kai and Will with the cop, him hanging on by a thread as they hit him again and again. When I get to Damon's video, the girl's face is as clear as day, and I scan the comments, seeing words like rapist and jail, as well as other girls claiming he'd done the same thing to them. It's everywhere. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. There's even a news article going on about us as if we're a gang. A fucking gang?
What the fuck happened? I yell. How did this shit get online?
I don't know, Kai bursts out, breathing a mile a minute. Will...
We both think the same thing. He has the phone, but he wouldn't do this. To us or himself. Ignoring my notifications, I dial him to see where the phone is. He doesn't answer, but when I glance back at my screen, I see missed texts from Damon. We're so fucked, the first one says. And then another one a few minutes later. Rika has the phone.
She had Will's sweatshirt last night.
I shake my head, meeting Kai's eyes, knowing he got the same texts.
No, she wouldn't do that. She would never hurt me.
Throwing down my phone, I charge out of the room, hearing loud knocks on the front door as I rush through the house. Excited voices fill the downstairs, and I feel like the walls are getting closer and closer, and I can't turn anywhere. Coming up outside the kitchen, I stop, hearing Trevor's voice.
So those are the guys you want to be around? He snarls. Rapists and criminals?
I know he's talking to Rika, but I don't hear her say anything. The vein in my neck throbs, and I hear feet storming through the house. I don't have to look to know it's the cops. They might be looking for me, but they are definitely looking for Kai.
Michael's nothing, and if you want to be around him so much, you'll end up just like his friends.
Trevor goes on.
I have no interest in being around him,
Rika replies, a bite to her voice.
And his friends got what they deserved.
My lungs empty, and I step into the doorway, glaring at her back. Trevor looks up at me, and Rika spins around, hurt and sorrow in her bloodshot eyes. She can barely look at me. And then my gaze drops to her hand, spotting Will's black hoodie with the tear in the sleeve from the fight with Miles last night. Clenching my teeth so hard my jaw aches, I back away, holding her eyes. Kai is shouting down the hall, the cops having found him, no doubt. And I stare at her, rage wrapping around every inch of my body like steel armor. This is my fault. I'll never be able to make this right. They'll suffer because I trusted her. Opening my eyes, I threw the sheets off, sweat covering my chest and neck. The memory of that day was like a sickness I couldn't shake. Seeing Kai in handcuffs, my friends splashed all over the local news, and knowing that none of it would have happened if I hadn't brought her with us the night before. That Sunday, they would have gone back to school and carried on, building their lives and looking forward to the next time we could all wreak a little havoc together. Nothing would have ended. If only I hadn't brought her with us. I turned my head, seeing her fast asleep next to me, and my arms hummed with the need to hold her. Her lashes were dark against her alabaster skin, and there was the smallest little space between her lips as she breathed in and out calmly. Shifting onto my side and propping myself up on my elbow, I ran a light hand down her face, tracing the scar on her neck and continuing down her body. I leaned in and kissed her hair, breathing her in. Nothing was her fault. She was one of us. She was ours. And not only did I have a mountain of shit to do to make this right, but I almost feared that nothing would be enough. I didn't know exactly what I wanted from her, but I knew I didn't want to lose her. And she'd grown very good at having a mind of her own. Leaving her to sleep, I showered and dressed in black pants and a white dress shirt, knowing I'd have to take care of some business today. The house was a disaster, and since my parents were out of town, our housekeepers and cook were on vacation as well. I called in a temp crew, and by the time I got everyone left over from the party the hell out of my house, the workers were already there, getting started on the main rooms first, as well as cooking breakfast. I called the facility where Rika's mother was and informed them that Christiane Fane's daughter would be in contact with her mother. And then I called a lawyer, not the family lawyer, someone who wasn't paid by my father, to discuss Rika's estate. I knew she didn't trust me with it. Why should she? But I didn't want it reverting back to my father either. We'd have to try to contest the will. I got all of her money transferred back into her accounts, which was easy enough,
since the guys had bluffed last night at Hunter Bailey. We hadn't quite gotten the shares doled out yet, so I still had access to everything and was able to put it all back and reactivate her credit cards with no problem. After a couple of hours, I sat at the dining room table, a breakfast spread sitting out, Kai quiet, and Will drifting in hungover. He looked a mess and immediately demanded to know what was next. He wanted to go after Trevor. I can't clean up one mess and then jump right into another, I gritted out. My plate was already too full.
Yeah, that was your fault, he threw back. And Damon's for giving you bad information. We followed like we always do.
He looked to Kai for backup.
But I'm doing it my way now. I would like you with me. If not, I'll survive.
He tossed back some aspirin, chasing it with an entire bottle of water. Yeah, it was my fault. We'd hurt Rika when it should have been Trevor. But I needed a breath first. I pushed my plate away, sitting back in my seat, and looking up to find her standing in the doorway. I locked eyes with her, my heart skipping a beat. She looked absolutely beautiful, as if she hadn't been through hell last night. She'd showered, put on some makeup, and straightened her hair, and she was dressed in some tight jeans, a white shirt, and a little red jacket with black shoes. Was she leaving?
Rika!
Kai stood up, looking contrite. Would you like something to eat? I narrowed my eyes on him. But she ignored him and met my eyes again.
My mother, she demanded.
I nodded, picking up a card off the table and holding it up for her. Her counselor's number. You're on her list of contacts now. Call whenever you like. She walked over and took the card, looking down at it. And I could tell that whatever happened between us in Trevor's room last night was over for now. She was clear-headed and back to business. Before she got a chance to say anything else, Will shoved a plate into her hands. Here. He reached over, grabbing a serving spoon full of scrambled eggs and began loading Rika's plate. She stared dumbfounded, and I turned my head away, trying not to laugh.
Now I'm sick of talking, Will continued, standing up and dishing her fruit and potatoes as well. No more plans, no more waiting, no more getting everything in place and all our ducks in a fucking row. Let's do this.
And then he stopped with tongs in his hand and looked at her.
You like sausage?
Without waiting for her to answer, he just shrugged and put two links on her plate. She stared at him like he'd just pissed in the sink.
We know where he is, and I don't want to kill him, Will gritted out, sitting down. But I'm sure as shit going to change his life forever, just like he did to us. Are you in or not?
I let out a breath, hooding my eyes. Rika continued to stand there for a moment, but then she turned and walked down the table, setting her plate down.
He is my brother, okay? I argued, facing Will.
I didn't know what my feelings were about Trevor, but he was my mother's son. And my father's, of course. And hurting him would hurt them. I couldn't decide this today. But Will kept arguing.
Don't give me that shit. He can't stand you, and you hate him just as much. The only reason you're holding back is because of her.
And he jerked his head at Rika. She gripped the back of the chair, still not sitting.
I'm not involved, she replied calmly. I'm going back to the city today, and I want nothing to do with any of this.
But you are involved, Will retorted.
You're the whole reason for all of this. If you hadn't been with us that night, Trevor would never have shown up. Now don't get me wrong, I don't blame you. And now that I know you're one of the good guys, I can admit that I actually really like you. But you're Trevor's motive, and you're in Michael's head. He needs to stay focused, and you're the reason he's not right now.
I am focused, I bit out.
Great, he said, smiling. Then when do we leave for Annapolis?
I ran my hands over my face, ready to punch him in the fucking face. Rika pulled away from the table, disengaging herself.
I'm going to call my mother.
She turned and walked out of the room, and I darted my gaze to Kai, seeing him rise and follow her. I moved to get up too, but Will grabbed my arm, stopping me.
Your season starts soon, he pointed out. This needs to happen now.
I sat back down and glared at him. You listen, and you listen good, I warned. Trevor doesn't even know that we know. He's not going anywhere. Damon is the threat right now. We have no idea where he is, and he's pissed off. I'm not stalling. I'm getting organized. And I shoved my chair back, storming out of the dining room, through the foyer, and up the stairs. But before I made my way to Rika's room, I stopped, seeing Kai at the second floor window, peering down into the driveway.
What are you doing? I asked.
Walking up to stand next to him, I followed his gaze outside and spotted Rika on the phone, tossing her purse into the back seat of the car. Alex, who I had forgotten was here, sat in the passenger seat. God damn it. Damon was out there somewhere, and I didn't trust him. She couldn't just leave.
Aren't you going to stop her?
Kai challenged, sounding amused. I shook my head, leaning on the window frame. I'm not sure I can. I heard him breathe out a laugh.
You finally met your match, huh?
She stood outside her car, still on the phone, probably with her mother. The smile on her lips reminded me of a younger Rika, a gentler, happier one. Before I'd gotten a hold of her. I don't know what to do with her, I said in a low voice. She was in my body, in my head, and I looked down at her, my heart aching at the way she pushed her hair behind her ear. And she was creeping into other places, too.
You really think you need to prove anything to her? Kai asked. You think she hasn't been in love with you just the way you are her entire life?
I continued staring out the window, not wanting this conversation with him.
That's what scares you, isn't it?
Kai prodded. It doesn't scare me. I hope not, he said, staring down at her. Because you've corrupted her nice and good. She's a force now, and it won't be long before she's brave enough to demand what she wants. If you don't give it to her, she'll find someone else who will. I turned my head, peering over at him. I don't need your warnings. I don't lose. That wasn't a warning, he shot back, not taking his eyes off her. That was a threat. And then he looked at me as he turned to leave. Watch your back, brother.
Chapter 25. Erica. Present. I dropped my head back, letting the tip of my blade fall to the ground as I tried to catch my breath. I hated fencing alone. I hated being stuck alone. It had been 5 days since I drove back from Thunder Bay, Michael and the guys following close behind, and if I wasn't in class, then I was in my apartment, per Michael's orders. And if I strayed to the bookstore or the grocery store, he'd be calling or texting, wondering where I was. I think he had Mr. Patterson and Richard alerting him when I didn't walk in the front door at a certain time every day, and I was about done with it. Alex had invited me for coffee with her friends tomorrow, and I was going to go. Now that I knew my mother was safe and actually sounding hopeful and more energetic, judging from the sound of her voice on the phone, I wanted to keep moving forward. My accounts were back to normal, and several contractors were assessing our house in Thunder Bay, getting ready to make bids on the restoration. Whatever Michael and his friends were planning for Trevor and Damon, I didn't care. I didn't want any part of it. "Sick puppies, you're going down," played off my laptop in the kitchen, and I stood at the island, chugging a bottle of water, the light layer of sweat on my back cooling my skin. I'd spent 20 minutes in front of a floor-length mirror, checking my footwork and parrying with a tennis ball before finishing with 30 minutes of sequences. Fencing wasn't something I competed at, but it was something I endeavored to perfect. My father had wanted me to study it, and even though I could have quit at any time, I refused. It would have been closing a door, leaving him behind in a way. I just wished I had someone to practice with, a club or a program at a gym or something. It was dull training on my own, which was why I'd barely done any workouts since moving to Meridian City. My phone started ringing, and I set down my water bottle, staring at Michael's name on the screen. Hitting ignore, I turned off my phone and pushed it away. Every time he called or texted, it was demands, orders, and updates about where I was, what I was doing, and if I'd talked to anyone today. He never asked me how I was or said anything nice, until he finally showed up, late and worked up from his basketball practice, wanting in my bed. He'd walk in, lock the door, and start stripping off my clothes, and everything I told myself to strengthen my resolve when he wasn't here went out the fucking window. I'd wrap my legs around his waist and let him carry me to my room. He was winning, and here I was again, playing his game. I made my way for the refrigerator to get another bottle of water, but 3 quick knocks hit the front door, and I halted, the hair on the back of my neck standing up. It's okay. If it were Damon or Trevor, the door was locked, and no one could get in. Walking slowly for the door, I tightened my fist around the handle of my foil and leaned in, peering through the peephole. Nothing but black. The lapels of his jacket, a shirt, and then there was a sliver of smooth, tanned neck. I couldn't see his face, 6'4" as he was, but I'd know Michael anywhere. "Who is it?" I asked playfully.
"Who do you think?" he snapped. "Open the damn door."
I shook my head, laughing to myself. Any opportunity to aggravate him was a small victory. Opening the door a few inches, I stood there, fixing him with a defiant stare. "A little early, aren't you?" I challenged. "You usually like your ass around 10. He hooded his eyes, not the least bit amused.
"Let me in."
But I shook my head, keeping him at bay. "No, I don't think so. I'm not interested tonight."
"Not interested?" he scowled. "What the hell does that mean?"
"It means you can't keep me locked up to be at your service whenever you're in the mood." He narrowed his eyes.
"Is that what you think I'm doing?"
He pushed open the door and walked in, forcing me to back away.
"You think I'm hiding you?"
He took another step toward me, but I immediately raised my pathetic sword between us, stopping him. Its flat tip pressed into his torso, while the hilt nearly pressed into mine, keeping 43 inches between us. He let out a bitter laugh, looking down at my weapon.
"My games are more fun."
But I wasn't playing. "You took Alex out," I reminded him. "My first night at Delcor, she was in a dress, you were in a suit, and you both had just gotten back here from wherever you were at. You haven't taken me anywhere." He swiped the sword away and walked into me, backing me up against a wall. Leaning his hand above my head, he dipped down, holding my eyes.
"So what do you want?"
he sneered.
"Flowers? A nice polite dinner and a pretty dress? And a nice polite fuck in a hotel room? Then I'll see you to your door at the end of the night? Come on, Rika. You're disappointing me." "That isn't us."
"Us?" I argued. "There is no us. You have no idea what makes me happy, and you don't care."
"Really?"
He nodded with a sarcastic lift to his eyebrows.
"So sneaking into Hunter Bailey for their open bouting event tonight wouldn't make you happy? Because that's what I was coming to get you for."
My eyes rounded, and my mouth fell open.
"But if you'd rather dinner and a movie, hey?"
He shrugged.
I can go buy some boring fucking flowers, too.
I broke out a wide smile, squealing as I jumped up and wrapped my arms around him. He tried to stay stiff and aggravated, but I could see the smile trying to break out. You suck, I teased.
So do you, he retorted, wrapping his arms around my waist. Don't tell me how to treat you, okay? I know exactly what you like.
And then he pulled away, giving me a light slap on the ass.
Now go shower and change. You stink.
I couldn't stop grinning as I spun around and dashed into the bathroom.
Stand up straight, Michael scolded, tossing his keys to the valet.
I followed him to Hunter Bailey's stairs, immediately squaring my shoulders and clutching my forest green duffel bag over my shoulder. Are you sure this is going to be okay? I asked, facing him. He reached behind my head and grabbed the black hood of the oversized sweatshirt he'd put on me, pulling it over my hair.
Who's going to stop us? He shot back.
I twisted my lips to the side as he tucked my long hair inside the hood. Who's going to stop us? Would I ever learn to retort with that when I had doubts? No, because I was a worrier. Well, what if they find out I'm a woman? I pressed, my skin tingling as his hands grazed my face.
Then smile and own it, he replied. The only way we find out what we're capable of is by getting into a little trouble.
I cocked an eyebrow. Sometimes getting into trouble can get you into a lot of trouble. Just ask Kai and Will. He looked at me like I was an idiot.
Are you planning to beat up any cops or sleep with underage girls?
I rolled my eyes.
Come on.
He took my hand, pulling me up the stairs. Opening the door, he entered, letting me follow, and I kept my head down, hearing glasses clink and boisterous laughter coming from the dining room. The pungent scent of cigars drifted out, assaulting my nostrils, so I inhaled short, shallow breaths. Michael laid a hand on my back, guiding me toward the stairs.
Mr. Christ?
A male voice called, and we stopped. My heart jumped in my chest, but I didn't turn around.
Policy requires that everyone check in, sir,
the man said. It must have been one of the attendants.
This is William Grayson III,
Michael answered, his voice calm and confident. I could feel the man's eyes on my back. After a few moments, he cleared his throat and answered,
Of course, sir.
Relief swept over me, but I knew he knew. How could he not? If he knew Will at all, he would know I was several inches shorter and 80 pounds of muscle too small. But he wouldn't challenge a member. If Michael said I was Will, then I was Will.
Come on,
Michael nudged my back, sending me up the staircase. I tightened my grasp on my bag and jogged up the stairs, hearing footfalls above me and chatter coming from the rooms we passed as he led me down the hall.
Follow close, he told me over his shoulder. Don't look up.
I kept my eyes down and my head bowed, simply watching the back of his shoes as I shadowed him down the hallway. We walked through a door and across another room. It was the gym. I could tell by the glossed wooden floors, the sound of speed bags being hit, and the squeak of tennis shoes. Following Michael's order, I didn't look up, simply walking as quickly as possible to the locker room door as he opened it, rushing me in. He led me past the steam room, the sauna, and the spas, their water vapor winding up out of the pools like a witch's brew, and led me past the lockers and the few male voices I could hear lurking about in the vast room. Curving to the right, we stepped into a row of frosted glass doors. Michael grabbed the handle of one and pushed me inside, stepping behind me and closing the door. Looking up, I spun around, seeing that it was a shower. The rainfall head sat directly above me on the ceiling, and a built-in soap dish on the wall held 3 large bottles with pumps, shampoo, conditioner, and body wash. Michael took my bag and opened it, pulling out my pants, jacket, gloves, socks, and shoes. Tossing the bag down, he dropped to a knee and started unfastening my pants. I laughed under my breath, grabbing at his hands. I can do it, I protested.
But I want to,
he said, sounding playful and making my heart flutter.
I heaved a sigh and stood up straight, letting him take off my shoes and socks before pulling down my jeans and slipping them over my feet. I stripped off my sweatshirt and t-shirt together, dropping them to the floor. I crossed my arms over my chest, waiting for him to get out my white fencing pants and dress me, but instead, his eyes locked on mine as he slid his fingertips up my legs. His lips quirked, and heat spread into his hazel eyes. Curling his fingers under the hem of my panties, he pulled them down my legs, and I simply watched, trying to stay calm despite the butterflies in my belly. I loved it when he watched me. His rudeness and coarse attitude made the rare times he was soft so captivating that I wanted to slap myself. He was a sadist, and my little heart just had to go pitter-patter the second his yanks, grabs, and pulls turned into gentle caresses, and his frowns, scowls, and snarls turned into whispers. I fell, and I never even tried to stop myself. Lust and logic sat on my shoulders like the modern-day angel and devil, one telling me to trust my heart, and the other telling me that I would never be able to trust his. Michael slid his hands up my thighs, and I stood there, completely naked for him, as his hot eyes drank me in, and his fingers kneaded my skin. "Don't even think about it," I scolded. "I want to fence." He broke out in a smile, knowing he was caught. "You're so beautiful," he said, sliding his hands up my ass and holding my hips as he looked up at me. I couldn't believe it. Michael Crist was on his knees, telling me I was beautiful. I pushed his hands, heaving a sigh. "Just get me dressed." I wasn't sure why he wanted me completely naked, no bra or panties, but arguing would tell him I was nervous, and screw that. If he wanted me naked under my gear, it wasn't anything I couldn't handle. He helped me get into my socks and then my pants. I slipped into my jacket that zipped up the front and then twisted my hair into a bun on the top of my head and wrapped a rubber band around it, securing it before sliding on my white gloves. We got my shoes and mask on, making sure any stray hairs were tucked in.
"Let's go."
Michael stood up and turned for the door, grabbing my hand. But I yanked it out, smiling even though he couldn't see my face under the mask. "Do you normally hold Will's hand?" He paused, as if realizing what he'd done.
"Good point."
He opened the shower door. I followed him out, past the lockers, spas, and steam room, and sauna again. Just as we were heading for the door leading back into the gym, Kai walked through, entering the locker room with a bag over his shoulder.
"Hey, what are you doing?"
he asked, stopping in front of Michael. Michael shook his head, blowing him off, but then Kai's eyes flashed to me and instantly narrowed. Without hesitation, he reached out and lifted the mask up, seeing my lips twist to hide my smile.
"Nice," he laughed, dropping my mask back down. "Well, this should be fun."
Shaking his head in amusement, he walked around us into the locker room, and Michael stepped forward, opening the door to the gym. Leading me through the maze of treadmills, weight machines, and the large boxing ring and supply of punching bags, he entered another room, a little darker, with a large wooden floor and a few fencers already sparring and lunging. Cushioned brown leather chairs sat around the floor, while some men enjoyed the bouting while drinking and talking. Michael led me to the wall where a plethora of épées, foils, and sabers were displayed and gestured for me to choose one. Glancing back at the men on the floor, I noticed most were using foils. My heart started racing, hearing the clang of swords in the background, and I reached out, taking a foil with a pistol grip.
"Hey, are you up for sparring?"
a man's voice said at my back, and I whipped around, my heart jumping into my throat. I looked to Michael, but he just smirked and leaned in.
"Have fun,"
he whispered in my ear, and walked off. "What?" I straightened, suddenly nervous and feeling alone.
"Collins,"
the guy said, holding out his hand. He had light red hair, balding on top, with a shiny pale face. He offered a wide, close-lipped smile, and I noticed